Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing and humiliating. We love to share our stories, your stories, have fun and laugh. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week?
Well, I'm taking archery lessons.
Stop it.
I'm not.
Okay. That would have been so cool. I was here to support you because I have seen really those people doing the archery. Have you seen those people in the park doing like the archery?
I want to do that. The craziest thing that happened to me this week is my husband like cracked my back and I peed a little bit.
What?
So that was it. Or I put like a Kleenex through the dryer and it came
out
intact.
Wait, where were you when you peed? On him a little bit.
He thought I said crack my back. I don't know what I was saying to him. I was hugging him and then he cracked it. And it's because of my labor. I still can't keep, if someone squeezes my back really hard, it's just I pee.
Aww.
So, but I do want to take archery. So that is something that I'm planting here. And maybe one day I'll sit down and say, Katie, this week I got a bullseye with my archer.
I love that. You're going to say that.
How was your week?
You're going to say it. Week was good. Latest thing that I'm watching is my favorite show is back on.
What?
The Love and Dating on the Spectrum. Have you seen
no.
that? Love on the Spectrum.
Uh-uh.
Okay, you have not seen this.
Mm-mm.
It is my favorite show.
Why is it your favorite?
It's on Netflix. They have done an Australian version and an American version. It is so heartwarming. So it is people who are autistic on the spectrum.
Okay.
And they are looking for love, or it's also like love stories that have already happened. It
oh
is the
gosh.
Most beautiful, heartwarming. Like I cry, you fall in love with
See?
These people. Like they're so sweet. They're so vulnerable. I also just love that a lot of them are very like matter of fact about things, and it's very real in a way that I feel like a lot of people hide themselves when dating someone, you
yeah.
know, and
yeah.
they are just very matter of fact about it. It
That's
is
refreshing.
It's refreshing.
And it's refreshing that it's heartwarming and it's not tearing the people down like you, a lot of reality shows.
So heartwarming. It is so beautifully done. Like I just love it. It's my
I
favorite.
That.
I can't get enough of it. I binge it and I get so sad when I've finished it. And then I have to wait for another
see,
season.
See, that's the best. That's a great reality show. I mean, I've watched a few and like, you know, Love Island, which just has like 60 episodes and it's just leaves you just like shattered inside.
Yeah, it's just full trash.
Or Real Housewives, I'm always like, I watch them, but I'm just like, oh, like all my energy is gone by the time I'm done. It's just like a blob on the couch, like can't even open my eyes.
No, this one I feel like is more rejuvenating. It's like
positive.
Renews your faith in humanity and love. It's just
so
beautiful.
Can I tell you that as a segue into the stories that I have today, I want to say that you should love someone. Like the really embarrassing things happen when you love someone, but it's amazing what people do for each other and like the embarrassing stuff that happens while they're trying to do something positive for somebody else that they love.
It's true. And when you love someone, you experience a lot of them.
Lot of embarrassing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are in it together as a team.
So many. I mean, as opposed to, of course, you don't want to go through some of these embarrassing stories, but you know, as opposed to not doing it, as opposed to like no one seeing and no not trying for that. I love that. I love that show.
You gotta
has
put yourself
people,
out there. Yeah. People
yeah,
are putting themselves out there in such a really, you know, refreshingly raw way. And it's beautiful. Yeah, it really is. It's really beautiful.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
And I love it. Yeah. It's Yay. So good. Such a good show.
Do you wanna go ahead go first?
Did I go first last time or you
I
did?
I don't remember.
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I will do it then.
All right. Thanks for writing in, everybody. Like, we're getting a ton of people writing in, and it's so nice to, like, just check.
We really appreciate your emails.
Yes.
Yeah, we're here to laugh with you, not at you, and we've all been through something embarrassing, and we want to experience it with you.
And I can relate to so many of these stories, too, which is really fun to listen to.
Yeah, they just bring up reminders of, oh, yeah, that happened to me, or this happened to me. That was, like, so similar to that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I got a good one for you. This first story comes from Vanessa in Orlando, and she writes, in my 20s, I went through a bad breakup, and I was still very much in love with my ex, but trying to get over him because I knew he wasn't good for me.
Yes.
Been
Who's
there.
Been there?
I went out to a popular bar for drinks with my girlfriend, and we ordered some apps. This bar wrapped around in a circle and was very social, and everyone ended up talking. We didn't like our appetizer and started passing it around, and other people were trying it. It was a fun and friendly environment. Finally, the app got to Mark, a handsome and charming man, and we started flirting and hit it off immediately. We talked all night, and he asked me out on a date, and I said yes. We decided to meet up a week later on a Thursday at that same restaurant bar where we first met. Earlier in the day, I went to the beach and fell asleep and got completely
burned. Yes, that always happens. That's happened to me a million times.
I have gotten total sun poisoning, like whole face peeled off.
I was sunburned for my wedding. Do you remember? My back was like raw.
Yes, anyway, don't fall asleep at the beach. Okay, so she did. She fell asleep at the beach.
Oh my gosh.
Luckily, it was mostly on my back, but I was feeling exhausted from the sun and I was a little bit in pain and I was so badly burned that I almost canceled my date. But I was really trying to get over my ex and I thought this guy Mark was so handsome. So I decided to go anyway. I put on my favorite dress and a red lip and headed to the bar. I immediately knew I made the right decision as he looked even more handsome than I remembered.
Oh, great.
We laughed and drank a couple of bottles of red wine and talked, but I was so nervous and excited I didn't eat much. As it was getting later, he asked if I wanted to join him back at his place for a nightcap. He happened to live right across the street from the bar.
Oh, that's convenient.
Very convenient. Now, I know everyone says this, but truly, I am not that kind of girl. I don't go home with guys on the first date, but I was having such a great time and I didn't want it to end. So I said, screw it. I'm going to go and see what happens. Girl, we are not judging
you. Get after it.
We hung out in his living room for a while, talking and flirting, and then we started making out and things got heated, so we moved it to the bedroom. I decided I was going to go for it. I was going to sleep with him. We got in his bed and started making out, and he unzipped the back of my dress, and as it was halfway down and my boobs were out, the most nauseating feeling
no.
hit me.
Gosh.
Bad timing.
Just a swerve in the road.
I sat up and said, hold on. He said, what's wrong? Are you okay? He was probably thinking that I wasn't ready and it was moving too fast.
Sorry, that's kind of funny.
Right?
Her boobs are out.
I couldn't even answer him and I had zero time to make it to the bathroom before I was projectile exorcist vomiting red wine all over his cream colored carpet.
No! No!
Not the cream colored carpet.
That is never coming out.
Nope.
Record scratch.
He tried to politely escort me to the bathroom while I was throwing up, but I was unmovable and heaved about 4 to 5 times all over his carpet.
What is she doing? Why?
I was completely mortified. After I was finished, I went to the bathroom and washed my face. I don't know if it was the sun poisoning, the fact that I didn't eat enough, or all of the above.
All of the above.
But I was feeling drunk, dizzy, and awful, and I wanted to crawl into a hole. That's the worst feeling ever.
Terrible.
When I came out of the bathroom, he was vigorously scrubbing the carpet. I profusely apologized, but he told me not to worry about it, and he put me to bed because I was too drunk to drive home, and there were no Ubers back then.
Oh, man. I mean, 2 bottles of wine is a lot of wine. I'm just saying.
But also to come out of the bathroom and he's like vigorously scrubbing the carpet is the funniest imagery ever because he's like, okay, if I don't get this up now, this is never coming up. I am not getting my deposit back.
Right. In case you just like want to walk out and, you know, but you're going to notice it. I mean, his carpet is ruined.
It's ruined. So awful.
Oh, that's so sad.
Least there wasn't a bunch of food in her stomach all over the carpet. Maybe that was the one plus. There wasn't a big pile
of wine.
Wow. Okay. In the morning, I woke up like, where the F am I? Then with pangs of regret, I instantly remembered and was like, oh, shit.
That's the worst feeling.
I glanced over the side of the bed to see the massive red wine vomit stain I had left behind where he tried to clean, but the result was futile. All I wanted to do was sneak away because I was so ashamed. He woke up as I was trying to leave and was so kind. He gave me a toothbrush and a towel and coffee and was so considerate, but I've never been so humiliated in my life and all I wanted to do was run away. I said, I'm going to go and ran out as fast as I could.
Oh, no, that's the end of the story.
He was so sweet. He called me a few times after that. I offered to pay for carpet cleaning, but he refused. He was so mature and kind, and I just wasn't ready for that. I know I handled the situation like a child, but I was so embarrassed and I just couldn't get past it. I ended up going back to my ex, but it ended again as it always did. About a year later, Mark and his then date came into the restaurant where I worked as a server and we made eye contact. He waved and I waved back, but I avoided his table like the plague. And yes. I'm sure my face turned red even then. I found out through Facebook he ended up marrying that girl.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what?
Missed connection right
it's
there.
It's hard to come back. I mean, that feeling, red wine retching is no good. I mean, because it's going to stink for like a long, long time.
Yeah.
But you can't, like you're Cinderella, like you leave that behind instead of the shoe. You know what I mean? They're like, I don't want to find her. Behind. I don't care where she lives.
Oh, but he was so sweet. He offered her coffee, gave her a toothbrush, that gave her a towel. He was like such a gentleman. He was like cleaning the puke up. He was not even mad. He was like, it's okay.
And like, still contacted her. Like, yeah, hey, let's try
and
this
again.
And
was like, I'm willing to get past this. Like, if you are. And she was like, I am not.
I would say absolutely not. Forget my number. Aww. Oh my gosh. Well, that's a good story.
You would? Would you never? I think
I would never.
You wouldn't? I think no. If I really liked someone, I'd be like, okay, I need to get past this. But I've had situations where something embarrassing happened to the other person and they couldn't get past it.
Oh, okay.
And that was sad to me because I'm like, I'm willing to get past it. Like, yeah. We're all human. Like, mistakes happen. Like, things right. happen. Like, bodily functions happen. I can get past it. But yeah, sometimes
exorcist
just,
barf happens. Exorcist
I mean, I barf so many times in my 20s my that gosh. I fully understand Same. This one.
And 30s.
Yeah.
And 40s. Wow. Okay. Well, this one is so cute. So, okay. So this is from James in Iowa. And he wrote, when I was 11 years old, I was going to a family-oriented Suzuki viola camp in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Suzuki is a method of teaching viola and teaching string instruments in general.
Oh, okay. All I know of Suzuki is like a car.
It's like a jet ski. Yeah,
a jet ski.
crotch rocket.
Yeah.
My siblings and I all play an instrument and we loved it. It was a wholesome place full of fun activities and my family would go every summer. I spent time skateboarding with my brother and doing things like having crab apple fights with other kids. We threw crab apples at each other and it was the best.
Those
See,
hurt.
It's like innocent.
Those
I know,
are
that
like
would
really hard.
Hurt.
Throwing
know,
apples at
unless
each other.
They're like really rotten, which also hurts.
Crab apple to the
way.
Head.
At 11 years old, I was developing an awareness of myself that was new. I noticed pretty girls around and identified with the more aggressive kids I wanted to steer clear of. What I didn't know, but do now, is that at that age, everyone's a nerd. The jocks, the more quiet kids, the pretty girls, etc. Nerds. Yeah. It makes me feel better to remember that most 11-year-olds are total dorks.
It's absolutely
this
true.
This story must be really embarrassing to have to like reassure yourself. So the only downside to this camp was that instead of individual showers, there were group ones in the public bathrooms there.
Ooh, at 11 years old, you yeah. got a group shower? No.
You gotta go shower in front of people. This particular summer, a bathing suit had been purchased for me that was bright cone orange and a Speedo.
What?
His parents bought him a Speedo.
They gave him a bright cone orange
For some reason, this was the suit I had to work with all summer. Trying to escape detection, I searched for the less crowded times to shower. I mean, what a sweet kid. Instead of being like, Mom, Dad, hello, what is this? He just was like, I'm going to make this work. I'm just going to try to find times.
Were they European? No one showered. They had to be European,
no,
right? Buying Speedos.
They
for
were
kids.
From, I'm pretty sure they're from the Midwest.
Wait, this was just the shower Speedo or this was
no,
like.
No, this was like his bathing suit for the whole
this
summer.
This was his bathing suit yes. for the whole summer. Yes. A bright orange
Speedo
and for your 11-year-old.
I even asked when he was telling me, I'm like, did they know that you wouldn't want to? And he's like, I don't know if they were trying to mess with me. I'm like, they
he
would
didn't
not
say
try
anything because I think I would have protested.
He didn't say anything. He's a sweetheart.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I would have been like, I cannot wear this. This can't happen.
Well, yeah. So he wrote, I searched for the less crowded times to shower during meal times or really early in the morning or late at night. I'd go there with hope in my heart that I'd be showering alone and no one would see the suit. Sad.
That is so sad.
You can't even do cannonballs in the lake. Because you got yeah. a bright cone orange Speedo suit.
Yeah, why?
One evening, I went during a mealtime and I was pleasantly surprised by an empty shower. I dropped my guard, sauntered over to the shower in my Speedo. I was enjoying the solitude and the warm water when a siren went off on the campus. An ear-shattering tornado siren.
No.
They'd practiced using it a few times, but this time it meant that there was really one coming.
You're in the shower in your Speedo,
in your Speedo
and there's
a
tornado
siren.
That's horrible.
You don't
Worst
have
case
your clothes.
Scenario.
You just have your
That's
towel.
That's like everybody's fear in Los Angeles too, that you're going to be in the shower during an earthquake like
yes.
that. Oh, it's mine anyway. Like that's always yes. like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in the shower. I'm going to be in like a not ideal situation. You're
be
going to the
naked
bathroom.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like that's like your
it
worst
is the
fear.
Worst. And I have nightmares about being naked in front of people on stage. Have you ever had that?
I haven't, but that's a common one. Oh. Yeah.
So he wrote, within 5 seconds, my mom and grandmother were outside the door yelling at me to hurry up and get going quickly. Within 10 seconds, I was ripped from the warm blanket of water and flying behind them as we ran to the basement shelter. This kid is running with a Speedo out. That is so embarrassing.
He's running with his little traffic cone.
He's running with his little, running, like, bright orange butt, like, just drenched and, like, in front, you know, everyone That's else horrible. Is running that shelter. Everyone yeah. else is running that shelter. Horrible. So he said, I'd
That's
had
worst case scenario. You're like, I'm not around anyone, and now I'm around everyone.
And the girls, you literally, like, oh everyone. My God. And you have a little Speedo butt, like, soaking wet. I'd had the clarity of mind to grab my towel, but the Speedo was in plain view as we rushed to safety. The last thing I recall is I huddled shivering in my own puddle in the basement.
Aww.
Was that pretty girl I had a crush on, and her parents were standing close by. I embarrassment blacked out. I've definitely done that where you're like, something's so embarrassing, you just can't remember it afterwards.
It's like, I just need to block this.
I embarrassment blacked out the rest of my time down there. But all I know is that I lived the nightmare, the one where you're publicly exposed in front of not just your friends, but their parents too.
No, that's horrible.
I mean, it's the, that image of that kid running in his little Speedo from the shower to
it's
the shelter
awful.
Is so embarrassing and so cute and so sad at the
it
same
time.
It is
so cute and sad. But yeah, you are already humiliated. You have specifically chosen a time. There's no one there. You feel safe. Your guard is down. You're comfortable. And then the sirens start.
Right. And you've also maybe like spent time being cool with other people. Like, hey, what's your deal? What's your deal? Let's play some Suzuki violin. Come on. And then these kids then see your little butt like running so fast with your
they
Speedo.
Saw your little crab apples up close and personal.
Katie, that was an excellent shout back. Amazing.
Like, call back.
Well played.
Wow. Played. Okay. Yeah, that's embarrassing. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much, James from Iowa.
Okay, I got another one for you.
Woohoo!
All right, this one's intense. Get ready. Buckle up.
Uh-oh.
This next story is from Kim in Nashville, and she writes, I went to the movies with my boyfriend, Chris, and when we arrived, I told him I was having major stomach pains. He told me to go to the bathroom, and so I did, and I had horrible diarrhea.
Aww.
I was in there for so long, I missed the previews in the first part of the movie, but I got it together, and I persevered.
Good. Well, that's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Get ready.
You
know there's a twist.
Oh, no.
The end of the movie comes, and my stomach hurts so bad again. I said, Chris, when the movie ends, meet me by the bathroom. I have to go right now. I raced to the bathroom and started shitting my guts out.
Oh.
It's the worst diarrhea of my life. I'm hallucinating. I'm spitting on the walls.
Oh, God.
I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm going to pass out. My phone has 2% battery life. I have no service. Somehow, I finally get through to Chris, who's been wondering what is going on. And I tell him I'm super sick and he needs to come meet me by the bathroom and help me out of here to the car. I'd been in there for about 15 minutes, but I made it out. And I told Chris that I had the worst diarrhea of my life. He was shocked and a little grossed out.
Yeah, a little.
But we moved on.
Okay.
That's a close couple right there. You gotta love it.
That is a sweet, those are sweethearts.
They're about to get even closer. Okay. I was feeling relieved that the worst part was behind me. We're in the movie theater parking lot inside the car and it hits me.
What?
Again.
How much poop
that is like some food poisoning.
Have?
I told Chris that I was going to have to go immediately, and the only thing in the car was a cooking pot I was taking to Goodwill.
No.
I told him I was going to have to poop in the pot. He said, no, Kim, please don't poop in that pot. Please don't. I said, Chris, I really need your support right now. You're being negative, and I have to
negative.
Poop so bad right now. This is urgent, so it's either the pot or your car.
Oh, no.
I love that. But I also love that she's like, it's going to be so bad that she's like, I don't care. I'm going to poop in front of my boyfriend in the car.
So terrible.
In the pot.
Hopefully she just goes around to the backseat.
This is where we're at. So then he said, no, wait, I'll go to the upper level of the parking garage. I'll swerve around. I'll park in the corner. I'll block you with the car and you can poop in the corner.
That's
on the floor.
Never going to work. There's no time.
So he does exactly that. He swerves. He's like up there race car driving.
He's like
he
doing
swerves
a stunt
around
drive.
The corners. He's doing wheelies. He swerves into the corner. He's stunt race car driving. I barely make it out. I run, I squat, I pull my pants down in the corner of the parking lot, and I diarrhea a horseshit Wendy's Frosty Freeze
oh,
all over
God.
The floor.
Thank you for the description.
I love that.
Very creative.
A Wendy's Frosty.
I'm never
freeze.
Drinking one of those again.
I was just vulnerable.
Used to be my favorite dessert.
I'm going to dip my fries in it later.
Oh, Katie.
I was just vulnerable, humiliated, and it's probably on a parking garage camera somewhere.
Oh, 100% it is. You are on.
They always have people's parking garage cameras somewhere.
Yeah, and you know that these people who are doing the security are like, what just that? What just happened? Rewinding it.
You got to get naked to go. So she had to be naked on there, pooping in the corner of a parking garage.
What about all those people where they're like, oh, there's no spot. Okay, we'll just park over here. And then they just get out and step right
skid.
In someone's diarrhea.
They skid their tire right into it.
There's tires stuck like a snowstorm. Oh, that's so
rough.
Gross.
That's really rough. I mean, if you have, that's a really close couple. I actually love that closeness of like, he's like, okay, I'm not going to let you poop in a pot in the car, but I will support you in this and I will get you to the corner. I will race car you to the corner.
I will race
and
car
you poop
you
in the corner.
And you know, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. You make a commitment to somebody.
You make a commitment.
You make a commitment to somebody and you don't know what's going to happen. Right? You just swing at the ball that's coming at you. And the next thing you know, that person
has a Wendy's Frosty
is
freeze.
Basically
for you.
Crouched down having diarrhea in front of you.
And you got to support that person and say, you know what? It happens. And maybe I'm going to be the one Wendy's Frosty freezing next. And you're going to have to support me.
Yes.
You know, that's true love. I think it's actually, this is actually a beautiful love story.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous love story.
This is a beautiful love story. And we thank you, Kim and Chris, for sharing it.
Thank you. If we're being honest, I want to listen to
an commitment.
Entire album of just love songs about diarrhea.
Yeah. Right?
Amazing. Okay. Well, I'm sure I have a diarrhea story in here too. So I'm going to like shuffle it up. Okay. This next one is from Nate in Buffalo, New York. And I didn't have to change his name. He told me I did not.
Off to Buffalo.
Here we go. Okay. He wrote, this is going back nearly 20 years ago because I dated a girl from Russia. It was a pretty serious relationship and wanting to show my commitment and my respect to her, I did my best to immerse myself in her culture. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's sweet.
I studied the Russian language with a private tutor for 4 years.
Four
Amazing.
Years. Wow.
I read
really
up
liked
on
this girl.
I know he liked her.
Yeah, that's
this
serious.
Guy's boyfriend material. I read up on Russian history. I watched Russian films and TV shows, and I tried various Russian foods. I lived in Buffalo, New York, and at the time, there were only one or two Russian restaurants in town. My parents and siblings took me to one of them for my 25th birthday. I was all excited and committed to it. Yep, I'm ready for Russian cuisine. Lay it all on me. So we get to the restaurant, the waiter's taking our order, and we decide to order some appetizers. One of the appetizers was made for, quote, Russian mushrooms, unquote. Now, what we thought we were getting was maybe something like stuffed mushrooms or grilled mushrooms, which I love. But it ended up being a bowl of raw wild mushrooms strewn inside of this gelatinous syrupy marinade. That's gross. Okay, he's like, delish.
Fantastic.
It was a cold jelly encapsulating the mushrooms and called appiatta. I think I pronounced that right. Appiatta. Anyway.
That sounds Italian, but let's go with it.
Hey, we each tried it, and I promptly spit mine out into a napkin. It was horrible. And when I think about the jelly, I still get nauseous. We couldn't finish eating them, and we're quite disgusted. I literally said, there's no way I can ever eat this again. This is the grossest thing I have ever eaten, and I still feel nauseous thinking about it. Fast forward another 5 to 6 months later, and I'm heading to Russia to visit my girlfriend's parents and grandparents for the first time. Whoa.
I know where this is going.
None of them speak any English, mind you. They inquired well before my arrival as to what foods I like so that they could make more preparations. I rattled off a number of relatively normal foods, chicken, fruit, steak, fish, salad, bread, etc. And then I foolishly mentioned mushrooms. I stupidly said that I had an affinity for them. Why, man? You don't remember the gelatinous syrup that you spit out in a napkin? So I'm sitting down for our first dinner at my girlfriend's grandparents' house, and you can picture it. They're in their 70s. They don't speak any English, living through hard Soviet times.
Mm.
And now they have this American boy in their home. The food is coming out and everything looks great. The meal is underway and my girlfriend's mom is suddenly like, oops, Nate. Oh, I wish I could do a Russian accent. I almost forgot. We got this especially for you. No, terrible. She goes into the kitchen and comes back with a large crock pot of the jelly mushrooms just for me. Oh, and I immediately feel nauseous. nauseous. My heart is racing. I take one polite bite and feel my stomach churn. Oof. I'm saying to myself, don't throw up, don't throw up. I got the one mouthful that full down, and then I, as polite as I possibly could, I pushed the crock pot away from me. This caused a great deal of consternation from the family. Mm. My girlfriend's dad got mad that I didn't like the mother's cooking.
It was basically awful. Just flipped her off
spat
right there.
In their face.
You were like this, because that's a thing. You can't yuck other people's yum because maybe, you know,
but you can't eat something that's going to make you throw up.
Yeah, it's not a taste for some Americans, but
if someone pushes you like a plate full of fish eyes, are you going to just get into it?
I would. If I was in that situation, I'd be like, I gotta just do it.
Eat fish eyeballs.
Yeah. If I was in another country, another culture, and they were presenting it in that way, like a respectful way, uh-huh. I would. Uh-huh. I would suck it up. I would suck it up and shove it down.
You would suck up eyeballs.
I would do it.
You would do well. People on eat Fear fish Factor. Eyeballs.
Yeah, maybe.
You would have done well. You would have done it. I would say learn how to say no thank you in their language, and then I would say it over and over.
Yeah, but yeah, it is in different cultures. It's also, yeah, it's like disrespectful.
Oh, yeah.
Like him shoving that away was like, yeah. He
like, you're not sleeping in our house tonight. Mm. Well, he said that the relationship eventually fell apart. I never took a true liking to Russian cuisine anyway.
Did he ask her to try to explain like this, that, oh no, you can't be like this. I feel like I'm going to throw up.
You
that
can't.
Doesn't make
You'll
it better.
Dig yourself a hole,
He's
right?
He's going to puke. It's that bad to him that he is going to vomit.
He's like, tell your parents. I really hate it. Like, I've had it. And
tell
I
your parents that
up.
I'm going to vomit. Like, it's not personal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the first. I feel like we haven't had one about like a different cuisine that we didn't like, you know?
Yeah, no, he's going to have to, he should have shoved that down if he really cared. He spent 4 years learning Russian, shoved down
you're
some
right.
nasty mushrooms.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like, not if you're going to throw up. I mean, think about the girl who projectile vomited on the carpet. That could have happened in their apartment.
But at least then it would have been like,
they would have been like, we poisoned the boy.
This is food poisoning. This next story is from my husband, Mirage. Shout out to
Mirage.
Mirage,
he's amazing.
He edits our podcast.
He has the soundtrack in the beginning is his music.
He wrote the soundtrack. He edits the podcast.
He's amazing.
He's pretty
Mirage,
much the best. So.
We love you thanks, so babe. Much.
And thanks for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the early 2000s, I was working at Rebecca's as a server and they closed down. I needed a new gig, so I searched Craigslist. Remember Craigslist?
Oh, yeah.
You had to go on Craigslist for jobs. That was like where they were posted.
Or roommates.
Yeah, that was crazy. Anyway, that's how it was back then, kids. You went on
you
good old Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
So I searched Craigslist and I saw that Twin Palms was hiring. Twin Palms was Kevin Costner's restaurant in Pasadena. Did you ever go there?
No.
I didn't either, but I'm like in the early 2000s, I was like a little Hollywood, West Hollywood rat. So I wasn't like going over to Pasadena so often because it's more like family place.
Yeah. I was always like, stay away from there.
Yeah. So I didn't even, I never went there, but yeah, Twin Palms, Kevin Costner's restaurant was in Pasadena. It was very popular at the time. So even though they were only hiring bar backs, I decided to still interview because I wanted to move into bartending. When I was hired, I was told it was a very difficult and taxing job. I told the manager I was up to the task and I accepted. It was upscale, so I had to wear a white shirt, black vest, black pants, and of course, shoes for cruise.
Shoes for cruise.
I never once wore those. Even when they were like required, I was like, absolutely not. No. I refuse to wear these. I will never, ever do it.
Okay? You're like, I'm wearing Chelsea boots.
I'm not doing it. The layout of the restaurant had a big outdoor courtyard covered in canopies, and that's where everyone wanted to sit. The bar was outside, but all of the alcohol, ice, etc. was downstairs. This is where the hard part, the manager mentioned, came in. I was schlepping alcohol, ice, fruit, and whatever else the bar needed up and down the stairs several times a night. The hours were grueling. I worked from 5 to 6 p.m. to 2 a.m., and the pay sucked.
Oh, forget it.
Tips were around 60 to 70 bucks a night and were not matching up to the work. I was about a week in, already regretting my decision, but I kept at it because I wanted to move up and figured if I worked hard enough, I could do that. On this particular shift, it was a rare rainy day in Los Angeles. They didn't close the restaurant patio because there were canopies covering the tables, but water still leaked all in between the canopies and puddles and was all over the floor. Reservations were hard to get, so the rain didn't stop anyone, and it was packed. Ugh. The whole restaurant patio was full. A couple of hundred people were out there, and it was business as usual. It was around 8 p.m., peak dining hours, and the bartenders needed me to get several bottles to replenish the bar. I walked very carefully down the stairs because everything was wet, And I grabbed an empty wine box and filled it with vodka, tequila, bourbon, all the different bottles they requested. I carefully walked back up the stairs, much slower than I was normally allowed. I trusted that my shoes for cruise would be non-slip. So once I got to a flat surface, I walked a little quicker on the solid ground.
Shoes for cruise, then down the steps.
Shoes for cruise are about to fail you, son. As I got to the very center of the dining room, surrounded by all of the tables and guests, I slipped in a puddle like a cartoon character slipping on a banana peel. And I went flying backwards. The whole bottle of liquor went flying into the air and crashed down onto a nearby table, smashing into plates, glasses, and half-eaten entrees.
No.
There was a collective gasp from the patrons as I landed on my back, soaking wet with my head in a puddle.
Oh, God.
To add insult to injury.
Then Serious injury.
Yes. Then there was laughing, clapping, cheering, and general chatter. I was so embarrassed that I just ate shit in the middle of the dining room and people were literally laughing at me that I walked straight over to the manager and said, I quit.
Yes. Good.
Said, I get it. I told you it was a hard job.
I get it. I told you it was a hard
probably
job.
Also, he's like, good. Get out of here. I don't want to get sued. Like,
I don't
want
to have to fire you.
This injury you just had. So like, go ahead. Like a weekend. But to go out like that, that's rough.
Okay. First of all, who does that? Who claps after someone literally just cracks their back?
Yeah.
And like goes flying.
He said he was like perpendicular in the air and like slammed down onto his back. And has your head in a puddle. And people are just literally laughing at you, laughing and pointing. They're all going to laugh at you like happened in real life. And
there's
you're
a special
okay,
place I'm in hell for people like that,
and
I think.
There is. And that reminded me of a little fall that I had when I was waiting table.
What happened?
I'm sure there's many more that will come to mind, but this particular one. I used to work at a place called Secrets, which sounds like a strip club. It's not. It's S-E-A, Kretz. It's in Ocean City, Maryland.
Okay.
Secrets, like Ocean.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like, keep it a secret.
Keep it a secret. What happens in secrets stays in secrets. I mean, that was definitely true. There's some shady shit going down there. But this place is like, it's still like the most popular bar in Ocean City today because it's massive. It's like a recreation of Negril Jamaica. It's on the Bayside, but they flew in all these palm trees, like where palm trees are not, you know, indigenous to the area at all. There's sand everywhere. Yeah. Like when I left, you know, when I worked there, you know, this is back in the early 2000s when I left, there was like 14 bars. So who knows how many they have now, but it was a massive sprawling area. They even had a section, which I did for one day. I'm like, I'm never doing this again, where you were a bay waitress, where people literally float out in the bay on little circle
donuts.
You just
swim to them?
You go out in a bikini and board shorts and you take their order and you like, yeah, you bring them their food, you bring them their drinks.
Walk into the water, yes. With
walk
your plates above your head.
Murky water. I mean, they made the bay waitresses made the best money, which is why I was like, okay, I'll do this. You made like $300 like in tips. So I was like, this is fantastic.
It's like Hooters.
It was Hooters.
People are like, hey, I need some more secrets.
I did it one day. I was like, never again will I go like out to these guys on little floating rafts and bring them their drinks. This is the worst. Anyway, so I was a regular server, but you had to wear like, we wore skorts, which I think is so funny still. So we wore skorts. We wore like either tank tops or like, I was wearing a button down. It was like a button-down tank, like the sleeveless tank or whatever.
Okay.
Like button-down. Like it was white, I remember. And I had my skort on. And for some reason, I was like, let me, because it was of the time. I was like, let me wear these massive platform flip-flops. So I was wearing.
Oh my gosh.
Platform flip-flops in the sand. It's a great idea. And they had the big trays there because we had what were called pain in the asses and rum runners.
That's pain,
what
the, pain,
in, pain in the ass, like pain in the ass.
Oh,
they were called
pain
in the ass.
You had to do
like pain in the ass and they were like rum runners. Jamaican. So it was like a pain in the ass. That's what it was called, pain in the ass. It was a rum runner and pina colada swirl. These are frozen drinks. It's absolute.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of alcohol.
It was so much alcohol. So I had a massive tray, one of the really, really big ones. And I was carrying a tray full of pain in the asses.
Pain in the asses.
That's what it's called. It's terrible. Pain in the asses and rum runners. I was carrying a massive tray of them.
If you fall on your ass.
Of course I fell.
So
I go out there and I get into the sand, which is very uneven. And there's like a divot that like I step into. My ankle rolls in these massive platform flip-flops that I'm wearing.
Oh my God.
And the entire tray goes all over me, all into the sand, like everywhere. And yeah, it was really.
And you had a bikini top on?
No, this was not when I was being a bay waitress. I was wearing a white like button down tank. So it was just covered in red frozen drinks.
Looks and like you got like bludgeoned.
Yes, I look like I got bludgeoned. Fell into the sand onto my face, like covered in pina colada.
Covered in pain in the ass.
Covered in pain in the ass. I was a real pain in the ass. I was like, I hate this. But I still worked there. I worked there after that because it was good money.
It's good money. I mean,
it was good money.
There are so many stories that end with that sentence. And but it was good
busting money. Your ass.
People do cheer when people fall down at restaurants and you're like, come on.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Like, you just like watch or they're like a fish out of water.
And they like cheers to it. And you're like, I just hurt myself like really badly.
You're like, I shattered all of the chandeliers.
I just sprained my ankle, but thanks. Like, cheers to that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's a tough one to follow, actually. That's like really good. Okay, so this is from Patrick in San Diego. Oh, three boys.
Yeah, we got lots of boy stories today. Give us all the boy stories.
Thank you for listening to us from last week. We needed more. So I had been in love with Megan James since the eighth grade. When we were in middle school, she was always the cool girl who had the names of bands I loved written in Sharpie marker on her Trapper Keeper. She was funny, smart, and she always talked to me even in the most awkward days of my adolescent development. The days when my skin was terrible, my voice squeaked, and I struggled to keep the wispiest of mustaches at bay. I eventually summoned up the courage to ask Megan out in the middle of my junior year, and to my surprise, she agreed. She said that she'd always kind of had a crush on me, too. Oh,
and cute.
It was very sweet. We had a great high school romance. We were each other's first sexual partners. Mm. We went to prom together. We both suffered a collective anxiety about what to do about our relationship when we went off to college on different sides of the country this summer after graduation. Luckily, one fateful incident would decide that situation for us, for better or worse. Oh, no.
Mm.
One extremely hot July afternoon, when her parents were both at work and the house was empty, I went over to her place. We fooled around and did what teenagers do when they have a rare moment to themselves in an empty house. Me, just play video games. But anyway, this guy got after it. After the physical stuff was all played out for the moment, Megan suggested we take a shower. I thought that would be sexy as hell and readily agreed to her idea. We stripped down and jumped in the shower. She had a lot of beauty stuff in there. Shampoos, conditioners, body wash that smelled like candy, and a loofah. What the hell is this thing for? Looks like you use it to clean a chimney or something. I was an only child and didn't know a lot about bath and beauty products. I guess he said that about the loofah.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, it's for exfoliating and rubbing parts of your body that are hard to reach, you dope, she said playfully. Hard to reach places, huh? Hard to reach, like, down here, I said as I took the loofah and began vigorously scrubbing my butt crack. Sorry. As I mentioned earlier, it was a hot day, and unbeknownst to me, I had a particular rough case of swamp ass. Through some miracle, it had not made itself apparent when we were fooling around earlier. But as I lifted the loofah back up from my Louisiana swamp of a backside, there was an enormous brown streak that ran from the top to the bottom of the loofah's one side. I felt the blood leave my face. I was horrified. Being an 18-year-old boy and severely lacking in tact or emotional intelligence, I followed my strongest impulse into that moment. I dropped the loofah there in the shower, got out, put my clothes on, and left without saying a single word.
Wait, so did she see it? She saw it.
He dropped it, and then he got out and like ran back home, lay down on my bed, and made myself a promise. In my shame, I decided that I would not even talk to Megan until she called me.
Oh, no.
I guess
she's like, what just happened?
She just like heard the door slam and there was like a poop filled loofah on the father's shower floor. It's like, what? In my shame. So he decided
at
not
least
to talk
throw it in the trash can.
And
buddy.
She's like, can you slam dunk that? And I mean, what the hell? I guess I wanted to know if she was OK with it before I had to swallow my pride and apologize.
If she was OK with the poofah.
One day passed and then another, then a week, and then I went off to college, and then I graduated college, and then I got a job married.
They never talked again. He left the poofah, and that was the end of their relationship. She saw it. She definitely saw it.
I never heard another word from Megan James. Questions about the day still pop into my mind from time to time. Like, what happened to Megan? What would have happened if I had just apologized? What did she do with the loofah? I hope this stands as a warning to all who take romantic showers with another person. Keep tabs on your body and be careful where you stick your loofah. He never talked to the love of his life again because that he had poop on his on her loofah.
Is wild.
That is so sad.
See, this happens. Like, people just can't get over these embarrassing things. And they're just like, I can't face you. Like,
and they
I'm
drop
just not gonna.
All of their cards in the toilet and flush them. Because literally, how many memories with Megan does he have? And he threw them all in the garbage and never talked to her again because she saw his poop. On her
but
loofah.
Also, she was like, yeah, I'm good. She's also like, now that you've dropped
Harvard,
this in my car, bye-bye. Like,
bye-bye.
That's it.
It's just so funny, though.
I said,
right?
Drop this in my car. Now that you dropped this in my shower, yeah. Bye-bye.
He's
done.
Like, yeah. Oh, who knows? Maybe someone dropped a poopy loofah in her car one time, too. But, I mean, wow, that's so wild that you would never talk to someone again. That's so funny, actually.
I know the way people are non-confrontational to a flaw.
Their relationship represented the loofah.
Zero communication.
Zero loyalty.
But didn't she like call after him or was she just like horrified just staring at it while he's like
walking
away?
I just love
away?
That she's like showering and like meanwhile he's like getting his
what if it was
on,
like
leaving her
mom's loofah? She like doesn't even tell her.
Or she doesn't even see it. She's like, oh, it's just on the ground, whatever. Oh my God, her whole family sees it.
She's like washing her body with
Ew.
It the next day.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty
gross.
Bad. Okay. That is a hard one to follow. The poofah. Okay.
The poofah.
All right, I got one for you, though.
Okay.
This next story is from Julie in Hawaii, and she writes, my partner and I have been dating for a couple of years and live together at this point, but I hadn't met his son Alex yet because he'd been away in active combat duty. He was coming to stay with us for a week, and I was so excited to meet him as I'd heard so much about him. I wanted the house to be perfect, and I wanted to look great as well and make a good first impression. I got my hair dyed. I decided to try out press-on French tip nails because they came highly recommended from one of my favorite influencers.
Nice.
Don't they always? They were really easy to apply, and I thought they looked great. I cleaned the house top to bottom and cooked a beautiful meal and set the table as Alex arrived. I asked him what he would like to drink and prepared him a cocktail in a tall glass. Alex was so sweet, and we ate dinner and drank cocktails, having great conversation and a wonderful time.
Aw.
Suddenly, Alex froze mid-sip of his cocktail and made a strange face. I thought he was choking for a second, and I asked him if he was okay. To my horror, he calmly pulled out my thumbnail press-on out of his
gross.
Mouth.
Oh, no.
And
we could have choked on that.
And said, you want it back?
Ugh.
It must have fallen off as I scooped the ice. My partner looked at me and laughed, and I turned bright red and apologized. Luckily, he's a combat veteran, and it takes a lot to phase him.
Oh, that's sweet, though.
That's
See?
Rough. Yeah, it makes me sick thinking
me
about
too.
It. But somebody, like, digging your press-on
that's
nail.
Like eating someone's Band-Aid.
It's your first time.
That is...
It's okay. Yeah, tell us your stories about the gross things also that you found in
your
restaurants.
Food.
This is a funny one, actually.
What
the one of the grossest ones
that you found? You've actually found it.
Okay, I didn't find it, but it was a restaurant that I was working in, and I was there when a customer sent back a salad that had a chewed up piece of mint gum in it.
That's disgusting.
And obviously, like the line cook,
what?
Like it fell out while they were making it.
Imagine. How do you not notice?
But they ate it, like they Ew. Bit into it, like and spit it out, and we're like, oh, horrified. Obviously, that whole meal got gunked.
That whole meal.
But I was there for that, and I was like, that is so gross. But like, can you imagine putting somebody's chewed up piece of gum into your mouth in your salad?
I'm gagging. Right
so tell
now.
Us your stories. I know you have stories about like gross things that you've found in food
this,
or like that. Like, yeah, if you were a chef and you were cooking,
I feel like,
yeah, if you a Band-Aid fell off into something, that'd be so gross.
I know that's never happened. Obviously, Yeah, that's gross.
But yeah, the fake nail.
Anything that goes in your mouth that comes from
pulling out someone's fake
nail
is, yeah, that's embarrassing. That's really rough. When you're like, it's obviously mine. My thumb is missing.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Well, at least he found out it came from her. It's like not super threatening.
He knew it came from her. But you're like sitting there with your missing thumb, not even noticing. You're like having a great time meeting your partner's son for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And then
your nail comes out of their mouth.
And then your nails. That was our show today.
It.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you laugh with us. If you did, please tell a friend. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us move up the charts.
And if you have a a story that you want to share, email us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com. We cannot wait to hear your stories. We are so excited to tell them and laugh with you.
Because if you can't beat them, join them. See you next week.